Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. My name is Seth, and I am your host, and I am joined today by a very special crew that we'll get to in just a second. But we are a podcast focusing on the storied mercenary units in the BattleTech universe. And today we're going to look at 2025. This is episode 28, but we're going to do a year in review with these gentlemen who are here with me today, because they are all across the BattleTech community. And then also we have a shared group that kind of naturally happened this year, and so we're going to talk about that too, because it's a lot of fun. But how are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. So these are the Silver Fox Fauxhawks, all five of us here. We're going to get introductions here in just a minute, and if you weren't at KSAG, you may not have any idea about the Silver Fox Fauxhawks, but again, we'll get into KSAG after a bit as well. But we have myself, but then also we have Kaz. We have Seneca. And Ben, or Bourbon.
Howdy, howdy.
Ben is traveling, so he is unfortunately not on camera. And if you're not watching this on the YouTube channel, if you want to see all of our beautiful faces, you can go do that, and join in there. But this will also be obviously in podcast as well. And then last but not least, our final member, who was our newest member and was added this year at KSAG, Andrew Curl from Wolfnet. How are you doing?
Good day. I'm so thankful to be a part of this esteemed group.
This elite established group.
Elite. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so let's just, we're going to dive in. What is this, or who are the Silver Fox Fauxhawks, for those who may have, inquiring questions?
I'm really anxious to hear this, actually.
I am too.
Even though we're all wearing like matching jersey shirts.
Want to go to the Pure Origins?
Pure Origins, Kaz. Editing. Let's get to it. Kaz and I were kind of, yeah.
Last year, KSAG, no, not last year, the year before, I went to go to the bathroom at KSAG. And I don't remember if it was Bourbon or Seneca, but we were on either side of Aaron in the bathroom, and he said something about getting sandwiched by silver foxes. And I thought, that sounds like a great idea for a team doubles name. And then I was like, wait, but there's more than two silver foxes. So we talked about it, and then after a couple months later, I was like, your silver fox sandwiches sounded really, even though I appreciate alliteration. And then came to mind the Fauxhawks. So I was like, dude, Silver Fox Fauxhawks, it rhymes, cool.
That's right. Let's go with that. That's how I got added, because I'm not quite as lusciously silver as some of you, so.
Yep. Plus you already have the fox thing going too, so technically
it's true.
You got
it's
double.
That's true.
And that's kind of where it started rolling.
Yeah. I got a message from Kaz early in the year, and it was like, hey, what if we did this and we made a logo? Because, every good group starts with a logo, right?
I'm still trying to get past the fact that this happened with everybody with their member in their hand, and this is how it all started. So that's it's a little scary, to be honest.
That's good ideas start. They all start somewhere. Most half of them are in the bathroom, at least.
It's fantastic.
It's awesome. Anyway, what this has turned into, though, is this group of us who, like I said, we've had, the silver hair, we've had the fox thing, we've got the Fauxhawks. So it's kind of a collaborative, I don't know, I was gonna say coming of age, but we're all well past that. But no, it's good. And so, since I was able to kind of whip up a logo, and then it was like, oh, well, we've got to have, you know, some fun stuff. And so Ben, I know, got some these awesome shirts made, these jerseys. They have our names on the back with the logo again. We also have some really cool looking dice. I'm trying to attempt to show. It has a logo on it. And then as a bonus, I was definitely not expecting coasters. So,
well, those are sexy. Saw that in the pictures. I was like, hey, wait a minute. I know a guy, so I'll think we can get that done.
Yeah,
I'll fix that.
You know, hotel room. Everyone who, I don't know about everyone, but I know a lot of people who played against any of you guys in KSAG got some of the dice. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun the last. So I went out yesterday and met a bunch of guys, and we tested a new scenario, and every single one of them had Silver Fox dice. So
awesome.
That's that right. Was pretty cool. Yeah.
That's all right.
Mostly from Seneca. Away like candy.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mostly from Seneca. Every time we tried to give out dice, it was like, oh, I already got some from Seneca.
Yeah. Several times.
That's what they're for. That's what they're for. No, good.
That, to be honest with you, that's the only thing that I feel slighted on. I didn't get a handful of dice to hand out.
So, well, that's okay, because you're part of it for this year, Aaron.
Okay.
Well, so,
this year? I'm a provisional member for the year?
No, not provisional. No, okay. I'm just saying that Andrew has this whole year to get some get some more dice and whatever.
You got
to
earn them.
You got to earn them right to hand out.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair.
Unfortunately, I was not at KSAG. I would have loved to be there for a group photo, but maybe this is the year. We'll see. So, but we'll get into events here in a little bit. Let's kind of go into just talking about our year in review. Also too, with the Silver Foxes, we decided, you know, maybe like membership is going to be extended maybe once a year. So like it's going to be it's a growing, but you know, it's still elite club. So, you know, for anyone who's interested, it's, you can't ask, you have to be invited.
For us old guys, it takes us a while to make decisions and get things done.
That's really what it is. That's really what it is. But yeah, so 2025, we didn't have a ton going on, but I feel like there was still more Battletech than there has been in the last few years. And I say, you know, it's like we didn't quite have as much product as we might have expected, but I feel like there was a lot more tournaments, there was more podcasts, there was more just community stuff going on that I saw and wasn't even able to be a part of as much. But we're going to go into all that. But let's look at what product we had. Was there any in 2025? I'm not going to read the whole list here, but I'll mention a few things. We got. Some people were still getting the Mercenary Kickstarters boxes, and then those also went to retail this year. So we got the Mercenaries box set in retail. We got all the Force packs that were with that Kickstarter in retail. Legendary Mech Warrior boxes, Somerset Strikers, all the vehicles. The vehicles have been great. I love them. We got Battletech Gothic for those that are excited about it. we've got the Centennial 3025 TRO redone with all the new artwork. Looks fantastic. We'll chat about that. We got Battletech Aces, which is a big deal for campaign and solo play, also for Alpha, you know, also a big deal as part of the Alpha Strike line. And then we've got, you know, a good smattering of fiction and other turning points and stuff like that. So anything, I'm gonna open it up here. What were things that you guys really enjoyed or excited about for this year?
When I started looking at this and then started looking at the list, it surprised me how much product actually ended up. I had not throughout the year, you don't necessarily think about all of it. But now when you take a step back and you've got a really good list of stuff here, this is actually quite a bit of product, right? And I think that we're also missing, you know, some other fiction, right? I mean, Outfoxed isn't on here. The Fox's Teeth trilogy isn't on. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, I mean, fiction-wise that we kind of missed. But I'm really impressed when you take a look at this list, how much stuff got released this year.
There was definitely more than I felt like came out, you know, in the moment. Yeah, I was like, exactly, man, we are not getting some of the things that we should be getting. And so, you know, I was disappointed when they would say things were being pushed back, you know, like I said, in the moment. But yeah, looking at the list, there was a fair amount.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really like the 3025 tech readout. Redone with all of the art and then leaving in all the mistakes and having a little piece at the end to talk about why and those things are happening. I thought that was a really, really cool product. And then for me, the one that I was most excited about is Aces. I got everything set out. I spent half a day one night going back and forth with ChatGPT. And I created a mercenary company and I created my eight warriors and I got back history and I got art created. Nice. And I mean, I did this whole thing, right? Color schemes. So I got that all set aside, getting ready to get that all painted. I'm still working on trying to get the table set up so that I can stream. But that's one of the goals that I have this year is that I want to play through the Aces campaign either by myself or with Z or have somebody come over.
Yeah.
Conduct a little bit of an interview while we play, but stream that the campaign. So I'm really excited about that. I think that the Aces product is brilliant. And I think that it offers so much opportunity for some very interesting things down the road that I've had the opportunity to talk with some people about. And I think that there's some really good things in the works.
Oh yeah, for sure. Kaz, what were you most excited about this year, product wise?
Audiobooks. I can actually keep up on the fiction without having to sit down all the time.
Yeah,
and still keep up while working.
We did get a few. Which ones came out this year? I feel like we didn't get as many as I would have hoped, but
at least they're releasing some.
Yeah,
we got. Was it the
I think Bonfire of Worlds came out on audiobook, right?
I think that's been out for a while. Did the Great Death series come out, or has that been out a while as
Great
well?
Death has been out a while.
It's yeah.
Been out
a while.
What's the one about?
Was it the Founding of the Clans?
Founding of the Clans has been out for a while.
Okay. No, that one came out this year. For the
Founding of the Clans. I'm sorry. Founding of the Clans. I'm reading the Kerensky trilogy or
Blood of Kerensky.
Lethal Heritage or whatever. I just started that book.
That one hasn't come out yet.
I get those two mixed up. Yeah.
But the newer books, Founding of the Clans, I think you're right. That's out.
With Andre and
or at least the first one. The first one is. So.
Audible Apple load. I can pull it up.
Yeah.
We also got Redemption Rift this year.
That's right.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Really good book.
Great.
Love Spencer.
Yeah.
Got so much other stuff on here.
Yeah. Speaking of fiction, Tales of the Bounty Hunter book. Mm-hmm. If you have not read through that, oh man, it's fantastic. I love that we get to fill in all the blanks. With that, not even all of them, but most of the blanks, but especially the ones from Wolves on the Border and Heir to the Dragon, where, you know, we find out how, you know, Michi becomes the bounty hunter. We find out where the bounty hunter goes from there. And then we even get it going into the Ill Clan era, which I liked. So,
yeah, I'm enjoying that one, too. Yeah,
it's really
we got
good.
Double blind this year.
Oh, yeah, we did get double blind in audio.
Fall from Glory, Visions of Rebirth, Land of Dreams.
Yeah, that's the whole trilogy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Battletech Core actually came out on audio.
Get it early.
Yep.
I don't know if I have that one yet. I need to get it. Or maybe I have it because I probably bought it immediately, but I just haven't listened to it.
I must be like the weird guy because I can't. I have a really, really hard time listening to podcasts or books while I'm doing something because typically I'm like coding or trying to learn coding or doing something like that or troubleshooting something. And I have such a hard time being able to split my focus that. And then my family doesn't want to listen to the stuff when we're in the car. So I have to.
Yeah. For driving or manual labor.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my problem. I'm not doing enough manual labor.
You need manual labor and paint more.
There you go.
That actually
helps. You know what? You're not wrong there. You're probably what? Here's the thing, right? So I'm working on getting my basement set up, but my wife has a thing, right? That she's like, I don't want to not see you. So I have room to set up a paint station. And I mean, I could have a really slick setup. So it'll just like the table, right? I'm trying to get everything set up so that it's easy, that I don't have to do a lot of work, that I can just go sit down and start doing the thing that I want to do. And a paint station would be really, really cool to have that. But she doesn't want to not see me. So I have this from Fortress Games, I think. They're out of the UK. They build wooden cases.
Oh,
and it has a paint case that it's a big ass box that opens up and it makes a big paint station. Yeah. So that's why my kitchen table is an absolute disaster all the time, is because I have everything off to one side and paint stations there. It's just it's a mess. But yes, I need to paint more, but that's where my problem comes in. Now I'm sitting next to my wife and she's trying to talk to me. I can't put headphones. It's a total mess. It's a total mess.
I understand. Yeah. Ben, Zeneca, anything you guys were most excited about this year?
Ben, you want to go or you want me to go?
You go ahead and go.
So I really like the Star League Lance packs that came out. Different sculpts, different minis. Really like them. They're not the greatest on the table, but I kind of like the way they look. Gothic, I did pass on that. I'm buying some elements on it on the secondary market. But I passed on that. I just didn't like the way, I didn't like the art. I didn't like the minis. So I passed on that one. And I'm trying to get into Aces. Andrew, I'm kind of curious. Have you played it yet?
Yes. I actually got a chance at Kerensky Con last year. I got to play with Josh over my shoulder and played against a couple of the Kerenskys, but I got to figure out how the mechanics work and just, we got to have a really good conversation about how thought process and everything, which really, really helped for me to grasp and understand what's going on. Yeah. Really at the end of the day, the Aces card is just a guideline on how that unit is supposed to move. And at the end of the day, you're really within the guidelines provided. You're making the best move you can for that unit. It still comes down to a choice for you, but I don't know about everybody, but I mean, when you're playing, like if you've ever tried to play chess against yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I move a piece, you know, I know on that side of the table, I'm thinking I'm doing this tactic, right? So then I go to the other side. How do I forget what I did over there? That can kind of get into a little bit with the Aces piece. But if you're really trying to have a good game and you're trying to make it be a bit of a challenge, there are things that you can do to really enhance that. So I would, Seneca, for you especially, I'd encourage you to go get it and try it.
I've got it, and I've actually started a campaign with some friends. I've tried doing some of the solo campaigns. I will say, like, the packaging is great, and I like the idea of a campaign in a box. I really think that's a great idea.
100%.
I'm not so keen on the card mechanic. I find that, for me, it's a lot of card management is what I'm encountering. You have your commander card, you have your objective card sometimes, then you have your unit cards. It just seems like there's a lot, like I'm paying attention to the cards more than I'm actually playing. But I'm going to continue to plug away at it and see if I can't turn the corner on it.
I think if you push through it, right, I think the hardest thing about aces is the icons. The icons to indicate what do you need to do. Yeah. Once that becomes second nature, things will go much more quickly, I think, for you. I mean, you'll get into playing the game versus worrying about the card. Because again, the card is just, these are the parameters to evaluate, then make the best move.
Right. And then the other thing that I'm reading right now, Ben, is your last piece, which I really like the Turning Point series. I really like them. So.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
But that's it for me.
And which one was that for people to know?
Turning Point's Oliver.
Oliver.
Which when we get to that, I'd love to ask Ben some questions about how that product comes about.
Certainly.
I mean, no time like the present, Seneca. Go ahead, ask
him. I was going to say, we're on it, man. Ask him.
Yeah, I just read Operation Guerrero, which was also very good. And how do you land on which conflict you're going to cover, Ben? Is that something that you choose, or are you given some options, or do they choose for you?
It depends on how it goes. I mean, this is my second Turning Point I've written, so... the first one was my choice. The second one, they gave me like three options of which one do you want to do? And I was like, oh, I'll take a stab at this one, you know? And then like, I've just finished up the writing on a third one. And that was completely just me pitching an idea saying, hey, I think we need to do this. And they're like, all right, cool. Go for it. You know? So there's about three ways to go about it.
Are you NDA'd on where this third one's coming from?
Yes.
Good try. I appreciate it.
Where's I'm Brent excited. Evans when you need him?
That's right. Yeah. but Ben, what about you? What's been kind of your highlight on the product that's come out this year?
I think for me, the Mercenaries. Do we get the Kickstarter delivered this year, or was that last year?
We got it delivered last year, but products hit retail, at least in the U.S. this year.
And okay.
Overseas, there were still a lot of people who were receiving it this year, so gotcha. At the beginning of the year.
I think, for me, the product that I think was most intriguing was the Gun Emplacements pack. I think that was kind of a surprise pack at Adepticon, and it was like, oh, this is cool. Let's do this, you know? And so I had a lot of fun just getting that pack and magnetizing things and painting stuff and putting decals on gun emplacements. I thought that was kind of a really neat product, you know?
Yeah.
So you did magnetize yours. Cause I actually popped open the packs and set them aside because in the Aces campaign, they have encampments. So I wanted to make sure that I had everything. I want to paint one time, right? I'm going to paint everything.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning, I was going to ask you about, you know, can we hang out after we get done with the podcast? Cause I have some questions on how you went about that. Cause I think we discovered this at Adepticon too, is that they're really tight.
Yeah, those right? ball and sockets don't really work very well on there.
Yeah.
And so
I'm curious how you solved that.
Yeah, I just sawed off the ball joint and then just kind of made a space in the socket for a magnet and then just put it all together, you know, kind of recessed the magnets on both sides.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Seth, awesome. Can I back up to the Mercenaries box set?
Yeah, go for it.
I think that was pretty tight too. And what I really like, I think they got the scale right for that. You know, you start off with 3,000 BV. I think some of the support cards are a little overpowered, but I think like starting at the 3,000 BV, you move up. I think they got the scale right, and I think the system's solid. I'm kind of looking forward to how that kind of develops with the next iteration. Yeah,
that's been my I have the Aces box. I'm super excited about it, but I have played like two total games of Alpha Strike ever. I know. Andrew, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
It's all right. It just means that you can grow with us.
That's right. No, I am excited for Aces, and I love the concept of the system, too. And I am going to try to play through not only the Alpha Strike, like Mercenaries and Alpha Strike, and then Aces with my boys this year. So, but I think with Mercenaries, Seneca, like you said, I'm super excited about the campaign system that they put together with that for Classic. I mean, I think it's obviously there for both Classic and Alpha Strike, and I agree. I think they've balanced it really well. I think on Classic, the new BSPs, like with the tanks and the infantry and emplacements, I think that might require some tweaking, but I'm also very excited for that. And I'm hopeful that we get a way to basically convert all vehicles and stuff like that soon, kind of like with the MUL, to be able to use more than just the vehicles that we have in the box, or that came with the Mercenaries Kickstarter, because that's all that we have right now as far as cards for them. I think those will increase the chances of combined arms for Classic. I know that there's a lot of people that do play with combined arms in Classic, but I know that there's a huge portion that do not, because the mechs are the highlights. The mechs were what we've always played with. It's a lot easier to get those, you know, the vehicle and infantry rules and battle armor rules are extras that sometimes people don't want to dive into. So I think that those, along with, you know, when we get into the upcoming stuff, the new book that's going to kind of combine the Battle Mech Manual and Total War with all the updates and stuff, I think will be really good. I think the campaign system from Mercenaries far, far surpasses Chaos Campaign. I think it's way easier to get into, you know, having those scales, scale one, scale two, scale three. I think it just makes amazing sense. And so I definitely want to see more campaigns with that system. Maybe even if it's not a box set, if it's like, you know, maybe a book, right? You know, for me, coming from I also come from like an RPG background. I have another RPG podcast that I do. I feel like BattleTech Classic as a, I feel like they do a disservice not leaning into it as an RPG light system, Classic being, I mean, because, you know, people who I know, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh my gosh, you know, Alpha Strike's so much easier. Or it's at least easier for people coming from other tabletop war games, because, you know, they're used to, you know, less information to track. But I think for people coming from maybe an RPG background, Classic's going to be an easier time because they're used to the full 8.5 by 11 character sheet, you know, and what is a record sheet if not a character sheet for your RPG mech, right? It's not always about the pilot in BattleTech, but it's about the mech. And so I think leaning into that, I look forward to the day that we get some sort of Aces for Classic. And I don't, you know, I know that that's like,
it's being worked on.
I know it's being worked on, quote unquote, but I don't know if it's actually being worked on yet.
No, it is. I promise you it's 100% in development.
No. And that's great. And that's great. And like I said, I know that it's coming eventually. I know also there's been like, you know, the kind of the mention of revisiting the RPG and or, you know, whatever, in whatever fashion. And so, yeah, like I said, I think that's great. You know, in my ideal world, I'd love to see all those on the Classic side, like the RPG, the Aces rules for Classic and stuff like that. I'd love to see them align in something as well. But I think that just overall, like Classic could use a marketing boost to say, hey, really lean into the campaign and the story play in this, because that's really where it shines. So
yeah,
and so I think Mercenaries did that.
That was a question that I had was that as you were talking about it, because the other system that I have heard a lot of people rave about and totally earned is Hinterlands. Because Hinterlands does very, very, I mean, they do the same thing. So was it's the same system. Was this campaign system, was it introduced in Hinterlands or was it introduced in Mercenaries first?
It was introduced in Mercenaries
later.
Yeah, it was introduced in Mercenaries first. The Mercenaries box that had the basic rules or core rules for the what a lot of people basically now call the Hinterlands campaign system. You know, once we get the next book in the Hinterlands, I don't think that it'll be called the Hinterlands campaign system because it'll be, you know, that's just one area, one region of the Innersphere, right? But yeah, I think that that campaign system is super solid. And I have, you know, ideas for doing more campaigns and in that as well. So
I would love for to see the RPG piece get fleshed out a little bit better as well. I actually got a chance to play my first D&D game.
Nice. Oh, fantastic.
And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I think my whole family came. White, awesome. Zena and Wyatt. And then we had the two Bovies, Tom and Daniel.
Oh, fun.
And David, apparently D&D, I didn't know this, but I found out D&D is David Richards' jam. He grew up playing D&D with his grandmother, which is, you know,
that's awesome.
I mean, way back then they were playing that. I mean, that's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And we had so much fun. So after having had that experience, I think that if
you, now you can get see it, right?
A solid RPG system for BattleTech and have us huge nerds that are BattleTech people get a chance to play in that,
yeah,
that could be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Aces system, so Aces and even Destiny a little bit, definitely I think work with Alpha Strike. At least I've seen Destiny and Alpha Strike paired together so much more. But Classic, you know, I feel like it's a lot harder to transition from like what was it called? A Time of War. To Classic or whatever. So I feel like, yeah, revisiting the RPG and making it a tighter experience.
Isn't that kind of though what DFA did with their system?
They tried to find the middle ground.
They smashed Destiny into a new, and they kind of smashed Classic and Alpha together get a little bit more crunchiness again brought in. Streamlined play, but crunchiness. They had I didn't spend
Destiny
a lot of time with it, but I know they're doing something like that.
Destiny has more crunch in it. In fact, they have record sheets in Destiny for mechs, vehicles, and all that stuff. With like it's still a full armor diagram. And I say full, you know, it's not just a card, like, but it's not quite, it's not like the same, it's not like the full 8.5 by 11 record sheet, right?
Isn't it a half sheet?
Yeah,
kind of. 4 or 5 bubbles per location.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I haven't done combat with, I haven't done like vehicle and mech combat with Destiny, and I've only played like 2 sessions of Destiny. But like I said, I have an RPG podcast, and I have been a GM game master for different RPG systems. I've tried probably 20 plus different RPG systems, and then
What's your favorite?
That's a tough question. I've got the most experience in D&D. I've played the Star Wars one from Fantasy Flight Games a lot as well. But there's some new ones that have come out the last year and a half that are fantastic. Daggerheart, the Cosmere or Stormlight RPG, if you're a Brandon Sanderson fan. And then Draw Steel from Matthew Colville or MCDM. Those three are newcomers that are getting a lot of attention and are a lot of fun. But no, like I said, all of them are great. Honestly, the role play aspect is something that I think Classic has always had. I mean, because you've got that pilot, right? You've got the pilot, you've got the mech. If you're running a mercenary unit, you've got that. It is an RPG light in Classic, essentially, at its core. And so to expand that would be fantastic.
it's one thing that I always hear when we have that conversation about Classic and Alpha Strike, right? Mm-hmm. Is Classic almost every game that you play, you're walking away with a story.
Yeah, you've got that cinematic
itself moment. Builds this story for the battle that you're playing. And Alpha Strike doesn't do it as well, right? It's not sure. as involved, so you don't have the gotcha moments of, oh shit, I got hit with an AC-20 and I lost half of everything, right?
Right.
That just doesn't happen in Alpha Strike. What happens in Alpha Strike is I lost three models in a turn.
Right, right.
You know, that
it's the high level battle.
Yeah. So I totally agree with everything of what you're saying. And I mean, to be honest, within the last year or two, that has really been how I've been equating the two different systems.
Yeah.
You know, Alpha Strike is a tactical skirmish game, mm-hmm. and Classic is more of an RPG game because you have your full character sheet. It is very intricate. And both systems have pros and cons, right? Yeah. It's just what's your fancy for the day?
Absolutely.
And are you enjoying yourself? I mean, at the end of the day, as long as you're having fun, I don't really care.
And I think one of the benefits of the Mercenary Box, to bring it back around, that system is also great for a pickup game for Classic.
Yes, that's exactly what we use it for most of the time, actually. Yep.
Yeah.
So they have a build. They have a build system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a force system.
And I think that's tier one, tier two, and tier three,
or scale one, scale two, and scale three. And so it's 3,000. You know, on the Classic side, it's 3,000, 6,000, 9,000 BV.
Does it hold you to era then as well?
No, you can play with any era. Like they've written it in the Ill Clan era because that's what they're writing in, but it's not like it's shoehorned in mechanically to the Ill Clan era. You could very easily use it in any era.
That, in my opinion, I think is, you know, one of the hardest things that people have to try and get by for BattleTech is the force construction, right? I think that in and of itself, no matter what else that we have done with 350 and all of that, mm-hmm. I think it's the construction rules for force building that is the bright, shiny star of that. Mm-hmm. Because we have now given people a way to say, hey, we're going to get together and go play. We're going to do 350 or we're going to do this build system at this PV level.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. everybody can show up and everything's ready to go. The Mercenary does that very similar, right, for Classic. We're mm-hmm. going to do 3,000, 6,000, 9,000. And it just getting all of the minutiae out of the conversation and just people build their stuff and go to the store to play is a huge win. Huge win for bringing people together.
Seneca, do you guys use the BSPs very often in those pickup games?
We do use the BSPs. We use them quite often, actually. And I would say the one thing that, and I think even with Hinterlands, you saw some rebalancing. There were some changes from mm-hmm. the Mercenaries box sets to what they actually ran within the actual campaign book. I find the BSPs, like the airstrikes especially, I think they're a little overpowered, especially when it comes to light mechs. Mm-hmm. I wish there'd be a TMM calculation in there for them. But we do use the BSPs. Yeah.
And, you know, for those that are listening or watching, you know, no, we're not just talking about the ones that Alpha Strike has that are like the airstrikes, the artillery, stuff like that. You know, in Classic, the BSPs that were introduced in Mercenaries and Hinterlands include vehicles, you know, all the battle armor, the infantry. And so it basically puts those combined arms on a card like an Alpha Strike card, but with Classic skills and damage and stuff like that in such a way that I think once they get that, you know, once they get a system in place like the MUL where we can go find that card for any vehicle or any battle armor or infantry in the game, I think that will really open up, you know, and we may not get that until we get the new rule book, right? Because I think, you know, even from the Mercenaries box to Hinterlands, they did some balancing. I'm sure there's going to be more balancing in the next book that goes along with, you know, the different region of space that they're covering. But yeah, I think that is going to be, I think that's going to be big. And
I think one of the best things that they could do is for print product, mm-hmm. right? Print the cards, but don't put the BSP cost on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Part of the card purchase,
yeah.
Fold up an 8.5 by 11. That is, here's what the current card stats are. You go in, write it with a wet erase marker or whatever.
Yeah.
And if anything ever gets updated, right?
Yeah.
Wipe it off, put a new value in, and go back to playing, right? It solves the problem of, well, we made this printed product. We can't go change stuff because now it invalidates that card.
Do you think that's a good strike idea as well?
Just pull the damn point cost off and let people write it in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an easy thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. But I love that. You know, I think within the Hinterlands, there's a method to say, oh, I really want to have Calamity Kell as a hero vehicle, right? And so you could play a full 8.5 by 11 record sheet with her for a special unit, right, to play it more granularly, but then still have the BSP vehicles and support vehicles and stuff like that. So it's a great system. I'm really excited to see that fleshed out. And yeah, so. Great. I'm recording. Okay. He'll eat it. Fine. He'll eat it. That's okay. Little interruption by my son. It's okay.
That's awesome.
He was freaking out because the dog got a pizza bite. Yep. A frozen one. I was like, that's okay. He'll just chew it and it'll be okay. It's not like they're not cooked. Anyway, let's anybody else have anything product wise that they that they're excited about that came out this year? We'll talk about next year later.
No, I'm good.
All right, I just had to write that product idea down so I can talk to Ray about it later.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm done now. All right.
I'm recording. Stop.
So that was products and excitement. Did we hear from Ben? We didn't hear from Ben.
Yeah, we didn't completely hear from Ben.
Yeah, I talked about the emplacements and stuff. I thought that was really neat. You know, okay. The Tiro 3025 redo was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, with the art in that is spectacular. Yeah, with the lambs and everything. That was awesome.
Now
I think those are my two favorite products.
Okay.
Licensed artwork. We've actually been getting some at the stores, which for a long time you had to like find unlicensed stuff online and do some backdoor dealing here and there.
Yeah.
But so you're getting some stuff in the stores that you can actually frame and put up on the wall is pretty cool now.
Where are you getting that's awesome. Or what are you referencing there?
We got the blueprint posters came out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also we had the double-sided posters for the Kickstarter too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise beforehand, the only way to find art was either had to know the artists and go to a convention, or you had to scrounge up some unlicensed thing on Amazon that was an account taken down 2 weeks after you bought it.
Right. And I think that
I really wish the that Catalyst would provide for the artists, you know, because I know like with Google, right? If you use Google Photos or any online photo organization tool, a lot of them have built in the ability to print, right? So I think it would be phenomenal for you to have store.artist.catalystgamelabs.com and have a way for the artists to have all of their prints up and have mm-hmm. them available to be sold and get, you know, print to ship and allow yeah. people to get the things that they want. Because like Kaz says, I mean, I have so much art. I don't know if I have enough wall space in my house to hang it all up. Exactly. But when you get a chance to go to the convention and you see that artist and he has everything laid out in different sizes or whatever, I mean, it's so cool. And you're just like, God, I loved this art. I mean, this one speaks to me. This one I love. I mean, there's the one with the Kurita landscape with the Black Knight, I think, is in it, and it's got all the cherry blossoms and shit. It was just like, man, I gotta have that one.
You always get
home. No matter of fact, I just went through them before I went to Christmas for the Krulls, because I swear to God, I had an extra one of the Kaseg print for Aaron, and started looking through all of the art that I have still that I haven't put up on the wall. I was like, man, I'm going to have to set aside a day, a month, just to go through and rotate art and just so I can get everything, you know, up and on the wall, so I get a chance to see and experience it. So,
yeah, that'd be awesome. You know what? Okay. Product idea. CGL, if you're listening, you need to get in touch with and partner with Displates. I don't know if you know what Displates yes. are, but they yes. are basically metal prints, and then mm-hmm. what you do is you take basically a sticky magnet, put it on the wall, and it's like this really thin piece of metal, and you can literally just interchange them so fast. It's so yep. easy. I have one them, yeah, you can adjust them,
screw and everything, you just
don't have to worry about them. That you can level it because it's magnetized, you just, you know, but that would be awesome. Like I have one hanging above my wall that's like the Master Chief helmet, right? And so yeah, if CGL could get in with them, like I guarantee you BattleTech fans would be so buying fast. It so fast. And they're not expensive, but they're super easy to hang. And then like I said, if you have a whole bunch of them, rotate them in and out, that'd be great.
The other one that I, we're talking products, right? The other one that I've been trying to get them to do is partner with Dragon Shield to print
yes
sheets
card sleeves with 100%
all the house logos, clan logos, and whatever else on the back.
Yeah,
man, just printing money at that point. Let's go.
Well, you know, in some aspects, yes. I think there'd always be people who would buy more that continuously. There'd also be some people that buy them that would have just enough for their cards and then they'd never buy them again. So maybe that's why, I don't know. But I love that idea for like Alpha Strike cards, for BSP cards, pilot mm-hmm. cards, whatever. We have a lot of cards here that could definitely use it.
May as well put your Magic the Gathering cards in them too. Why not?
Why not?
Won't get mixed up with anyone else's.
Or your, you know, BattleTech CCG cards that are no longer available.
That's another one. I did order all of those cards when they did the fan reprinting or whatever. I need to sit down with Matt and have him walk me through how that whole thing works again. It's been decades since I played.
That was a lot of fun. I loved it back in the day.
I got to sort through.
Again, it's how many different ways can we play this game, right? And it's
not enough.
It's really amazing.
We need more.
When you take a step back and you look at, of course, we've been around for 40 plus years.
Yeah.
But we have tabletop, we have RPG, we have video game, we have cards, we have it's amazing the amount of product and different ways of being able to enjoy this game.
Well, we kind of already transitioned to this, but what are products that you're excited about for 2026?
For me, it's force packs, right? I mean, I want more plastic models on the table. I want to continue to see that grow. I'm really, really happy to see the new models making it into metal. But I prefer the plastic models. One, it's not as hard on my shoulders carrying stuff around, because typically when we're doing stuff, we're carrying a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not only that, but they're more durable. They can get knocked around in the case and not break. You know, that I hated that when you get to a tournament or you're going to go to somebody's place or you go to the store and you take that model out and the arm's still laying in the case and you're just like, God, and you have to sit there and fix that. So, I for me, it's force packs. It's I believe it's Draconis Reach is the next Hinterlands book that's coming out. Yeah. Looking really, really looking forward to that. And just the continuation of the fiction. I mean, we are in a place now that we haven't been in a very long time where we don't know what's going to happen.
It is nice.
I'm really excited for the fiction and the lore to continue to move forward. Asking a lot, but I mean, a book a month would be amazing. I know it's asking for a lot, but
didn't they say at one point that they were going to I could be imagining this, but I feel like 2 years ago, maybe it was Helfers that had said that they were trying to do one novel, one novella, and then Shrapnel a quarter. I could be wrong. That's fair. You know,
that sounds about right. And if we could hit that, that'd be amazing.
Right. I think that has not been the cadence that we've gotten, but I would love even that, would be fantastic. So.
Right. Agreed.
Ben, what about you?
I mean, I'm always up for some more plastic crack, you know, I think, more force packs obviously would be great. I'd like to see some new maps come out. You know, I know the last set of real new maps we got was through the Kickstarter, you know, so I'd like to see some more neoprene battle mats with different stuff on them, you know, maybe, you know, starting off with those Alpha Strike battle mats or the ones with
Field Tech,
no terrain on them.
What they were
Field
called?
Tech, that's what it was, yeah. Some different ones there, you know.
I
think that'd be kind of neat.
I like the neoprene maps because I feel like they're the perfect size for a quick game of Classic.
Yeah,
or Alpha Strike, even the ones that don't have the hexes on them, which I'd love to see more of those too. Not even just for Alpha Strike, but also I know some people who want to play more hexless Classic. So,
I thought some of the news coming out of Unplug was that they do have some new maps slated for 2026. I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
I hope it comes out in 2026. That'd be cool.
Right. That's, you know, hopefully so. Seneca, what about you?
You guys pitched some new products. I'd like to pitch BattleTech socks. Because I would buy some BattleTech socks.
I think that's easily rectified, honestly.
Yeah. I think that's,
we finally got them to cave on hats, so I think socks is the next thing, right?
What I'm excited for the new version. I shouldn't call it a new version. They're saying it's not, but it kind of is. But the next iteration of the BattleTech core rules.
Absolutely.
I think most of the rules changes that they've done so far, or at least proposed, I'm kind of on board with. I'm a little nervous about it. I'm not going to lie, because I think this is what's coming up in 2026 is going to be the next version of BattleTech. I would think it really is. I think they've got some significant changes in the works. And for the most part, I like most of them. I'm excited for that.
The side torsos was out. They weren't going to do that. Too many people complained about that.
Yeah, good.
But
good.
Other than that, I liked all the rest of them personally.
Yeah. And then I'm excited for the Mercenaries Handbook.
Yes.
I'm excited for that too. And of course, Classic, but I know Krull's in the same boat. I'm sure we all are. I mean, I've got so much plastic and so much metal. It's like, just don't throw it at me, you know? So,
yeah. Kaz, what about you?
Being the young gun of the Silver Foxes here, I'm going to go with the tech side. I want more my video game stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would love a TV series or movie or something.
Sure.
And good God, the backlog of the fiction that is still not on audiobook yet. Mm-hmm. We've got some good stuff there that we need to get exposed to the rest of us through audio that we're not getting it yet. hopefully I'm not poking.
I know
the
that
wrong
they had a big list that they were working on. I know there were some complications. I don't know the details around it, but yeah, Lord willing, 2026, maybe we get a good dump of audiobooks. That would be great. So
I haven't seen a whole lot from Trendsparks lately. And I know they were recording something with Tex way back, and then I haven't heard anything about it since.
He was supposed to be doing the Blood of Krinsky trilogy. Is what he was going to be doing. So that'd be great.
How many of you guys watched the Black Knight drop?
I haven't yet. I'm saving it for a paint session.
I haven't watched
session.
It yet either. Yeah.
There was a live viewing in Valhalla Club. We all got together and watched it.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. Well, I too am excited about the Mercenaries. What is it? Force Manual? What are they called?
Yeah, I believe so. Yep.
Yeah.
Force Manual.
Yeah, the Mercenaries Force Manual. Really excited about that. Kind of big fan of Mercenaries, if you didn't catch that. And then all the other books that are coming in the Hinterland series. And then just fiction. Loving the fiction. I want more. So both in audio and standard. So but hey, let's move over. Let's talk about all the events. And we won't go into too much detail, but because I know that you guys have covered them separately a little bit as well. But what events did you attend, and then what was your favorite this year?
Let's talk about KSAG.
Yeah, let's talk about KSAG.
Probably my favorite for the year. I'm going to be adding probably Adepticon on this year, but KSAG, like it. Battletech focused. I don't want to say it's small, Andrew, because it's really not. but just a great, great time, minus the cold. If we can move that someplace a little bit warmer,
I just got to make sure that you're experiencing some extremes for yourself.
KSAG Florida 2027.
Yeah. But that was a great time, and I know the Wolfneck guys. I know Andrew and Tom Bovey put a lot of effort into that. What a great, great experience! I do that every year.
Thank you for that.
Awesome. Any others?
Gen Con's always great, right? If you go, Gen Con's great. It's like the big granddaddy. But it's exhausting. Yeah.
So
exhausting and expensive.
Yeah. This past year, I got a chance to go to Kerensky Con. I was a agent there, so we ran games for the Kerenskys and got to spend some time with those guys. That was a lot of fun. That just rolled into Adepticon, ran a 350 singles and doubles there. Was at Gen Con, 350 singles, doubles there. Made it out to Hot Drop. We did Skull Con, which is a little convention here in town, and then KSAG. And through all of it, it just... I hate to be that guy, but I mean I really, really enjoyed KSAG. Having it be focused, having it be a little tighter knit community and group, and the single mindedness, just everyone's there for Battletech. Mm-hmm. And every conversation that you're having is about the universe and or their play groups or what it is that they're doing. Just saw a lot of really, really positive vibes through the whole weekend. And I'm really proud of the fact that we were able to get that to happen again for a second year. Cause the first year that we, last year when we did that, that was what everybody came back with, was like just the vibe, the friends and family feel. We really, really wanted to try and make that happen again. And thankfully, we don't really have a lot of control over that, right? It's the people who come and buy into what it is that we're doing. And the fact that we had enough people do that and everybody had a positive experience. Really, really thrilled about that.
I'm glad you guys added Andrew, classic.
I'm curious, Andrew. I know you probably track player count through Gen Con, through their, you know, Gen Con tracking system. But have you guys tracked how many people you've had in total Wolfnet events throughout 2025?
I could probably go back and figure that out. Okay. I know for Gen Con, I checked 92 lists. Adepticon had to be close to 80, right? Or 80 plus.
Wow.
Hot Drop, we had, you know, maybe 20. In KSAG, we had 44 and 64.
And that's Classic and Alpha Strike?
Just the singles and doubles tournaments.
Oh, singles and doubles.
We've run for 350. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And those are rough numbers. Those are just off the top of my head. But I think those are pretty close. Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, I will say that we have such a good group of people who are doing this that I'm so thankful that when we say, hey, we're doing a thing at this place, you know, I can expect a dozen people. Nope. I mean, without question, there's a dozen people that are going to show up. Just because we've formed those relationships and we get a chance to hang out with each other for a weekend. And the, you know, the nice thing I'll say is I think we're all old enough and we have jobs where we can afford to go do those things and enjoy each other's company that, that's just, it's a perk that we have with where we're at in our lives. And I'm extremely grateful and thankful that people continue to enjoy what it is that we're doing. And, you know, we love the feedback so that we can continue to make sure that we're providing what it is that people want to spend time on.
Yeah, that's great. Kaz, Ben?
So I know I did Adepticon, Gen Con, Motor City Mayhem, and I missed out on Michigan GT this year, and KSAG is still the favorite. But I think each one has its own thing it brings to the table. With Gen Con, it's the big gaming thing. You're there to learn all the new products and try out different stuff, but there's so many people. So if you're a little not so much on the social side, that can get overwhelming quick. We've been fortunate at least to have our location for Battletech in the corner by the entrance, so you don't have to go through the masses all the time. But Adepticon, it's a little more tabletop focused. You get a little more of that community feel. And then KSAG is where if you want the community aspect, the social, that it feels like a family reunion, but you get to choose your family, that's where you go. And usually you don't have to figure out as much on the logistics side, at least the last several years. Hopefully it stays that way. Mm-hmm. So you want to take a break from all the social, it's a little too much. You can go upstairs, go to your room, or the year before it was, 200 feet back to the hotel.
Yeah.
And you can decompress a little bit and then go right back at it. Unlike Gen Con where you're like, oh, I got to go catch an Uber, 25 minutes back to the hotel, take a shower, and now I got to travel another half hour back. Now I missed an hour or two. Oh, everyone already left for dinner. It's if you're there for the social aspect, go for KSAG. Second option would be Adepticon.
Yeah.
Gen Con, prepare to be a little overwhelmed if you're not familiar with it.
Ben, did you get to any others?
Yeah, I hit Adepticon for the first time this year.
Was your first year?
Yeah, it was my first year at Adepticon.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd always limited myself to like one convention a year. And for the past 20 years, it's always been Gen Con. So this is the first time I kind of started branching out a little bit. But Adepticon, Gen Con, KSAG, and then numerous small events in Colorado and stuff. But I think for me, you know, Gen Con is always my favorite just because I've been going there for 20 some years and, you know, it's always a good time. KSAG was great. You know, I love all the conventions for different reasons, but, you know, Gen Con's kind of the granddaddy of them all anyway. So I always like going there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've only been to Gen Con once. Oklahoma doesn't have a whole lot of direct flights to Minnesota, or I don't think they have any to Minnesota specifically. So I drove, that was last year, not this year, or 2024, not 2025. I went for the 40th. That was my goal. But I wanted to get to Adepticon, KSAG, and Southern Assault, with Fortress being the show sponsor, and that being his massive event. I know they have grown leaps and bounds, so I want to get out there as well. But then locally, we have a con that's called SoonerCon that is kind of Oklahoma's Gen Con. Like meaning it covers all games and comic books and stuff like that. But we've got one that's been growing called Token Con that we've yet to have. Do what?
I've actually heard of that.
Okay. Yeah. It's been growing pretty exponentially. And so there has not been a Battletech presence there. And so I'd really like to try to get out there. We have a pretty big group of people to play in Oklahoma, and so I want to try to get that into Token Con and get some Battletech going. So I think we've got a lot of, I think with Aces and you know, the Mercenary like Hinterlands system and then just general tournament stuff, grinders and whatnot, I think and Alpha Strike, I think we've got a lot that we could easily put into it. So yeah, but yeah, this last year I did not get to travel as much. So, but it's been good. Hopefully 2026 be a little bit more. But yep. Awesome. Well, hey, let's move into just kind of any other personal things that either you or the show or whatever has gone through this last year. I will pass it over. Kaz, why don't you start us off on this one?
Obviously founded the Silver Fox Mohawks.
Yes,
so I'm not the 100% OG here. I think that goes to Seneca. You're the original man. I just stole it and ran with it. I made my first podcast appearance on the Mercenary Star podcast.
That's right.
So that's another achievement for me this year. I got to face every single member now of the Wolfnet team in Alpha Strike. I think, what was the first? I wrote it down somewhere. First, it was Matt and Tommy in team doubles of Gen Con last year, or, well, 2024. Then
Gideon?
Was Gideon at 350 at Adepticon in singles.
Hey, check the sheet. You wrote it down in the sheet.
Trying to make eye contact. I'm not good at it. Trying to see how well I can remember it. Andrew, I faced in Masters and Minions with Bushido. Got stomped, but it was worth it. And then Aaron, I kicked his ass in Conscripted Chaos.
Well done. He deserved it.
He deserved it.
Of course he does.
Also, I teamed up for team doubles. I teamed up with my brother for Tone Setters, was our team. Steve, I'm going to butcher his last name. I'm pretty sure it's Horizon. Something along those lines. Sorry, Steve. For piss poor effort. And KSAG was with Bourbon for Silver Fox Fauxhawks.
Awesome.
And also done a little bit of help on some playtesting for some coming out of Michigan. There's at least two formats that have been growing in popularity. One is Conscripted Chaos, which was at KSAG. That was created by Corey Held. So giving some feedback on that, some playtesting. If you don't know, it's kind of like a cross between 350 and Drafted for War.
Yeah.
So it's a really fun game set, and especially with the Atlas Ball soccer match kind of going on.
That's awesome.
It's a fun little thing for it. And then also Alpha Strike Open, which is been it's being developed by Bill Kim. And he has these cool different deployment zones and different types of objectives, and there's more than one objective going on also. I'm not very good at describing it. I'm still haven't fully gotten a great grasp on it, but it's picking up in popularity in the Michigan area. So yeah.
Awesome. Seneca, go for it.
I'll keep mine short. I did at KSAG, I got to play doubles with Joshua Franklin. I know it was funny, Andrew. I didn't tell you this, but it was like a week after KSAG. He was apparently reading the doubles rules, and he said, "Well, on that last game, we actually got some points on the last game." I'm like, Josh, I'm like, I was fried by the end of the doubles. I was done. But we actually did really. I mean, we did pretty good. Of course, Dave Richards smashed us, but we did get some points off of him. We won our first game against John Thell and Jervis. Is it Jervis? I'm always saying Jervis. His name wrong.
Jervis. Yeah. Two great. So games.
Yeah, they were fantastic. Won one game, lost badly to Dave Richards. Him and his methodologies, and yeah. Then our third game we could have won, but the dice kind of turned against us. Aside from that, this is my first podcast, so I'm breaking the plane today. Oh, so I appreciate the invite, Seth.
Yeah.
I appreciate being part of the Silver Foxes.
That's right. The elite. Elite membership.
Yes, the elite. We'll need to put some parameters on membership here.
That's true. It's true. We're working on it.
In my bylaws.
Yeah, like some bylaws in the works, you know?
Bylaws. Or we'll just make it up as we go.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
More likely we'll make it up as we go.
As we go.
Yeah.
Ben, what about you?
Highlights for the year? For me, it was... Getting to see Turning Points Oliver finally come out. That thing's been sitting over my head for about 3 or 4 years.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, that was written, I think it was the first 2 months I was in Colorado when I moved out there back in 22. So, that just tells you what the lead times are and production schedules and everything else. It takes a while to get stuff out the door sometimes. But really happy to see that go out. The getting my third Turning Point finished up and written and submitted finally. So that's another one that's been hanging over my head for a year or so. It's hard to write and like be an active member of the community and play and go to conventions and things. So, for me, at least, somebody else is probably easy breezy for them. But I had a lot of fun with that. Going to Adepticon for the first time, I played in singles and teamed up with Charles Gideon from Wolfnet for doubles at Adepticon, and then ran Drafted for War, a couple sessions of Drafted for War when I was out there. Gen Con was a good time, played in doubles with Andrew's daughter, Zena. Had a blast, She was getting a little frustrated with my antics towards the end, for sure. But pretty standard stuff.
I appreciate you pushing the bounds, though. She needs that. She needs that.
Yeah.
She's growing up quick.
Yeah, growing she is.
That's for sure.
She goes to college next year.
Yeah, it's going to be big. But had a good time playing with her. And then me and Charles teamed up for Masters of Minions on the Masters side, Got to play with Tom Bovey and his kid, and then Carl Franklin, and I think it was Jeremy from Denver. I could be wrong, though. It's been a few months. Good couple of games, but as an inaugural event for Alpha Strike in Master of Minions, I think that's a good start to the effort. But those are kind of the highlights for me. You know, teaming up with Kaz at KSAG was always a good time. You know,
awesome.
Got to display the Silver Fox power.
That's right.
Dominance.
Dominance.
Yeah, we kind of got rolled over pretty easily. That was pretty rough.
Awesome. Yeah, it's an old age. You got to stretch out a little bit more before you play.
Yeah, you know, some things, no amount of stretching is going to help you against somebody like, you know, Doyle and John Colden from Terminal Tools.
Yeah, yeah.
Blakus. That was pretty rough. But, yeah. But we had a good time with Mario and Kaz's brother, their team up at KSAG. And then who else did we play? Oh, Matt and his partner. Don't remember that guy's name either.
I don't remember. But
yeah, it was a good time. So yeah. Always a good time.
Awesome. Andrew, what about you?
You know, I got to start off, but you know, we mentioned Z. I got to watch a lot of volleyball again last year. I got a chance to get her to the beach in Florida this last year. It's something she's wanted to do for the last 3 years. So we got that done, and very, very proud dad. She's signed to play volleyball at college. So
that's awesome.
Looking forward to more trips to go watch volleyball. Going back over the year, I saw that Wolfnet only put out 8 episodes last year. It's very sad, very disappointing. We're going to fix that. I put out a calendar invite for the third of every Sunday for us to record, and whether we're there or not, it's going to happen one way or another. So I will fix that for 2026. I've spent a lot of time trying to get my gaming table set up so that I can start streaming. I know that we have not done our Thursday night throwdowns in quite a while, and I know that Aaron's got a lot going on in his world. So trying to take some of that off, and I'm going to try and do it, you know, 2 times a month, you know, week on, week off type of thing. And then KSAG, I won my first tournament. I think it was the second or third tournament that I've played in total. But it was a lot of fun being on that side of the table and going through all the emotions and the stress for the day and kind of understanding what that's all about. And I was really, really happy that it had some validation, right? That I got to see from that side of the table that, you know, the things that we've tried to do and the things that we're aiming for are working. So it was a good experience. I'm very, very thankful for everybody that I played against. My second game was against one of our esteemed guests here. We talked a lot of smack in that game.
A lot of smack.
It was a lot of fun. So Seneca, thank you so much for that game.
I almost had him.
He did. He almost had me. You know, for me, and it'll always be this, it's the community outreach and just connecting with people and enjoying the people in this space. It's one of the greatest things that we've ever gotten out of this whole thing is just the people that we meet and the connections that we get to create through this shared universe. Well, every year that is the bright shining star for anything that I ever do. It's being able to be a part with this elite group and meeting, you know, other people who love this game and are passionate about what it is that we do. That's what really makes me excited to continue to put the amount of time and effort and money into making this all work. So.
Yeah, absolutely. The community and getting to collaborate and get to know people is definitely one of my favorite parts. And so I got to do a lot of that this year. Also, forgive me on the recordings if you hear me clearing my throat. I've been a little sick, and I have realized that I've only been muting myself halfway, not all the way, in certain areas. So But no, I started the year with doing a collaboration with BungleTech and MechBay and some other people doing the Global Campaign Initiative, which was BungleTech's baby project for the year. He, Nate over there, has been putting a lot of hard work into it. And it's been a challenge. There's been a lot of learning experiences in that, but basically we put out a campaign for the year. And so I know there's been a lot of people that have played it. I know, Brent and Zimmer have been streaming some on the OMAM channel. And there's been a ton of people playing it. So that was a lot of fun. We'll see what happens with that moving forward.
You got to come to KSAG with them.
I know they did. That's awesome.
You guys to come run that all weekend. That'd be pretty cool.
I will add, that was one of the highlights of KSAG for me, was meeting that Nate from BungleTech.
They are just so different. But yet they go together so well. It was so fabulous getting a chance to spend time with them.
Yeah, it was great. It was a good time.
They're good people for sure. I think there's going to be another one. I don't know if it's going to be quite as big of an endeavor. I think there was the attempt to kind of have it be like the kind of choose your own adventure. So if you win here, you get to go here and all this stuff. I think that it could be streamlined a little more, but we'll see. You know, I kind of like the idea of having it run in the Hinterland / Mercenary format and maybe be a little bit more linear. But we'll see. We'll see. That was really fun, though. Got some really cool stuff. I did some voice recording for some of the characters in that as well. And then I was the one who designed all of the op four for that. So I designed all the units that were in there. I started a new segment on the channel called MechWarrior Memory Core, which is a short form as opposed to a podcast. I got two out last year with 6 months in between, but at the most recent one was Morgan Kell, and I'm really excited because I got connected with a new YouTuber called The Painted Topher, who is a super awesome guy and has really amazing painting videos. Really good. And so I think we're going to try to collaborate more moving forward on some of those and get his paintings in with my my short form for the Legendary Mech Warriors, because, you know, it's like having something that you have got a list of all the legends, right? We've got two full books of legends now we can go through. So that'll be fun.
I've seen him, Seth. I like him. And I've seen Painted Topher stuff. And he's the guy that paints with sponges, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he uses brushes as well, but he's been really leaning in on the sponges, and he does a phenomenal job.
I just pulled up his channel. Holy.
He's got great stuff. And then he freehands.
We've kept this PG-13, so I'll stay there. I won't say any four-letter words, but this guy does some amazing work. Holy crap.
Really does. And he does freehand for some of the line work and everything. Mm-hmm. But he's awesome. He's over in, I think, the Netherlands is where he's at.
Subscribe.
Awesome guy, great channel. He just started it like halfway through the year, and he's growing so fast. So congrats to him. And then I had some other really cool stuff. I got to have the owner, founder of Bear Cavalry Paints on for an episode. Dan is incredible. He has they're developing this whole paint line called Bear Cavalry. If you haven't heard of them, they are
looking like hard at
sustainable.
I want the whole set. I do too.
Good. They're sustainable paints, but they are super vibrant. The colors are so vibrant. They also come in these really cool bottles that are also like recyclable and recycled as well. But they are a really cool company that they're already working on their second line of paints to be more consistent. They're working on washes and shades and stuff like that. Dan's an incredible guy. He loves BattleTech. He has been painting landscapes on a dropship and then on his mechs. So he paints like a landscape kind of camouflage. And they're all real landscapes from the northwest of the United States that he'll go to. And he will paint them in like while viewing the landscape in person. So that's really cool.
He's based out of like Washington, Oregon, right?
Yeah, Washington, I believe. Okay. And so he will travel up there. But yeah, super cool. The paints are great. They're a great deal because they're a little bit bigger than your standard, than most of the others. So they come with a little bit more paint for about the same price. And like I said, the colors are getting a lot of attention. His red, yellow, and white have been compared to even the Monument Hobbies whites and stuff like that. So great line of paints there.
I know during the Black Friday sale, he had the whole line was discounted $100.
Yeah.
I had to try really, really, really hard.
I did too.
Click buy.
I did too.
But what, cause I'm not working right now. So I had to be a responsible individual, which is usually not, it's yes. a new thing for me. So
yeah, I've bought some from Fortress Miniatures and Games, the show sponsor, and what I've used so far, phenomenal. They go on really well. Also, I collaborated with a 3D artist for Halloween and created my Trogdor Mech Mini. Mm-hmm. And I created a whole scenario for that, and then had some other people, Steve from the Mech Bay and some others, weigh in on the campaign for both Classic and Alpha Strike. So it's meant to be kind of a Black Marauder scenario where awesome. He comes in and he just burns everything, you know, and you've got to avoid, you got to avoid it. But so yeah, that's fun. That's out there. People can download that for free and the scenario as well. And then I also hit 1K on the channel. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I have this next year, I have some decisions to make about maybe starting some new stuff since I can pursue maybe like a YouTube partner or whatever. So that's been fun and exciting here. But yeah, I feel like it's been a pretty good year. Like I said, it has not been, there's been more BattleTech, but then I feel like it's been more community that has been going on all over. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, what about you guys? Anything we're going to kind of get to our wrap up here. What's been your kind of like best and worst of 2025? For BattleTech, you know, not necessarily personally.
I go first. I said my best was KSAG, hands down. One of the best experiences. I can't thank everybody enough who came and attended. I never thought that my 50th birthday could have been that much fun. Like I tell everybody, I said, I turned 50 and got to spend 4 days with 150 of my semi-closest friends.
That's right.
It was great. The people, the encounters, the place, just everything was awesome. And then, for me, the worst thing this year was getting notified in September that my position was eliminated and getting that experience for the first time. Mm-hmm. I have been working in the industry for 25 years and never had that happen. And being 50 and trying to find a new job has been an interesting experience. So I'm hopeful here in the next couple of weeks. I closed out December with a couple of really good interviews. So I'm hoping that you're back here in the next couple of weeks on whether I have the problem solved or if I'm at square one again. So it's feast or famine, right? So
yeah,
that was best and worst for me.
Definitely be thinking and praying on that to resolve itself quickly.
So I will take any and all of it. I do appreciate that.
For sure. Kaz.
Best thing I would probably say, getting to interact more with the community, do collaborations, do team ups for like doubles with different people around the community, see different play styles and attitudes. Getting to play like MechWarrior Online with some of the different Valhalla Club guys in there, and just the social interaction and building of community has been probably my favorite part. The downside, work has been kind of dominating my schedule this week, and I haven't made it out to as many local game nights as I would like to. Tried to help out where I can with like playtesting and giving feedback on stuff, but hoping on the opposite side of Andrew's coin, I actually applied for promotion and made it to the second round. So we're hoping to hear something in the new year.
Congrats.
And that could affect my scheduling more to maybe allow me to actually get more involved again. So,
well, good.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Ben, how about you?
For me, I think I'll go with the worst first. The worst was our game store, local game store, kind of adjusting its hours at the beginning part of the year, and it really put a damper on a lot of the group. So kind of the group evaporated, and you know, it's hard to find a spot to go to that worked for me and for a couple of other guys that we were playing pretty regularly with. So we're still kind of floundering about a little bit here and there, but that's kind of the worst piece for BattleTech for me. The best, you know, it's always good for me as a best thing to kind of get out in the community and go to the conventions and you know, go to the Gen Cons, the Adepticons, the KSAGs, and I wish I could get more, you know, time to go do that kind of stuff, but real life tends to intrude on that stuff. But, you know, I think for me, just the best was just being able to link up with everybody and, you know, spend some time rolling dice and talking and laughing and, you know, telling stories. You know, that's the best thing for me. So.
Awesome. Seneca?
I'm going to start off with KSAG again, probably the highlight of the year for me. And I think it's a testimony to, and not to pat Andrew on the back, because Lord knows I don't want to do that.
You don't have enough time. I'm a big
fan. But but the WolfNet system, the 350 system, it just works. It's play tested. It's tight. It's what you need it to be. So it's just great. And then I think overall, just I don't really think I have a bad here, but I'm going to say just where BattleTech is right now, considering where we've come from and where we are now. It's just, it's really been an incredible 5 years for the game and for the community, how much different it is since 2018. It's just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, I think similar to Kaz, just like the more community engagement I've been able to have has been fantastic. I did not get to play. My bad is that I did not get to play nearly as much as I wanted to or hoped to this last year. I did get to paint more, so that was great. But then, like I said, a lot of my stuff went into just engaging, you know, hanging out. I definitely played a lot more MechWarrior with Kaz and Zimmer and Brent, and had spent, you know, stayed up way too late talking with Brent because, you know, everyone does that with Brent. he keeps people up way too late, right, Andrew?
Yeah, man. When he comes over at Gen Con, he comes over to the house, you got to set an alarm, and it's like 2:30 in the morning, and you're lucky if you get him out of the house by 3:30.
I know. And I'm sure
I love talking with Brent. He's an amazing dude.
Fantastic. And he and I sometimes get going and we, you know, definitely apologies to anyone else who's been in chat with us, because sometimes we'll just take over the conversation. So, but it's been a lot of fun. Definitely looking forward to doing more. 2025, I feel like was pretty good, but I'm excited for 2026 for sure. So, well, any final thoughts, hopes, dreams, excitements for the new year that you guys want to say? Any 2026
big money
goals or predictions?
First, I wanted to say thank you for the invite, and also thank you for the addition to this esteemed panel.
Of course,
this has been fantastic. So thank you for putting this on. This has been a lot of fun. And for me, 2026 is really going to be trying to renew efforts, passion, and just output for WolfNet in 350, and trying to get back onto social media and interacting with everybody. It's really, really important. Just being able to read through the Facebook or Discord posts and see people who are out there and be excited about the shared universe. Really, really want to try and tap back in and get back to that. So those are the goals and things that I have that are in this space that I'm really going to try and do. I'm going to try and paint more this year. I've said that for the last 3 years, but I keep seeing the shit Seneca puts out, which is pretty freaking amazing. So I got a long ways to go to try and catch up. So.
Well, Seneca, I mean, you got to follow that. So.
And get a job,
and
right?
Get a job. First, that's going to happen.
Foremost is I probably got to get a job. So.
You know what? That's going to happen. We're just going to say that. So.
I know. It'll happen.
Yep.
Just got to give it time.
Seneca, why don't you follow that up?
I'm looking forward to the next time I get to see my Silver Fox brothers again in person.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah. I think that's it for me.
Just excited in general for the
excited in general.
More BattleTech. Absolutely. Ben, how about you?
For me, it's, you know, I'm following what Seneca said, you know, just seeing everybody, especially the Silver Fox crew, and, you know, seeing everybody at the conventions and talking with people, and, you know, just trying to devote more time to working on some personal writing projects as opposed to the stuff that I get roped into from CGL on their side. So that's kind of my goal for this year, is to say no more so I can do more of my own thing and, you know, spend some time with people and, you know, roll some dice.
Absolutely. Kaz?
Hoping to only kind of increase my involvement and support of the community, whether it's playtesting and giving feedback or helping bring in a new player, actually making it out to game nights, bringing new people on like the MWO side, or showing up on podcasts and just general supporting the already established community and helping it grow. That's kind of my big goal for this year. Awesome. And balancing my time better, because I feel like I might need to pay more attention to the girlfriend too.
Yes, balance is important. Balance is important, yeah. For sure. Awesome.
Girlfriend. There's probably your fix. You need to fix that.
We'll discuss that after. We're not doing that discussion on air.
Awesome. No, I agree wholeheartedly. I want to, I am, you know, setting myself up to paint more, to play more as well. I got for Christmas, I got an awesome new paint light that will give me like a kind of like a half circle of really good light that I can move around over my paint area. And then I've been trying to collect more terrain for Classic, so Hextech mostly, but basically to be able to put something that's, you know, classic but presentable, sort for when I'm at the game shop. You know, just like, I have no problems playing on paper maps, but I, like I said, it definitely looks better. And so I want to get out and kind of showcase not just, you know, what's in the box, but then also show what's in the box for like Alpha Strike and Aces and stuff like that. So, just play more. And then hopefully I can see some of you guys in person as well this next year. We'll see. So, it's, honestly, you know, wife got a new job. She just started, and my work's been going well, so it's open. We'll see. But I try not to overcommit because I, you know, family first, as you know, as we definitely try to have that balance. So
if you wind up doing Southern Assault, Seth, let me know.
Yeah.
Cause I'm wanting to get up there too and try it.
Yeah, for sure. I know. Southern Assault seems pretty awesome. Fortress Miniatures and Games, which you haven't checked them out, you know, definitely support your local game shops first. But if there's something that you need they can't find there, definitely check out Fortress Miniatures and Games. They have been killing it with the product they've been carrying, not just you know, CGL BattleTech, but all the support stuff, the hex tech, the all the fun additional things. And then they've also expanded to some other things. I also have a soft spot for Halo, so I've been getting some Halo stuff from him for their miniature skirmish game that came out this last year. So definitely check them out. But no, Southern Assault, I definitely want to try to make it out. They had a massive turnout for Southern Assault last year. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, well, say that again.
What were the other? Didn't they branch out to? Like, I think they got four.
Oh, like I mean, there has become kind of a loose affiliation of tournaments across the U.S. that have kind of there's a Northern Assault and some other stuff like that.
I know Motor City Mayhem falls into Motor, that.
Yeah, Motor City Mayhem's one of them. You know, as someone who's in Oklahoma, when people say something is West and they're just talking about west of the East Coast, I'm like, no, that doesn't count. It has to be at least west of the Mississippi, probably west of the Rocky Mountains. But you know what? That's okay. I'll nitpick on that. So, but no, I'm just excited. Yeah. Let's any shout outs or plugs you guys want to put in? I mean, obviously, we've got the shows as well that some of you are part of. So. Mm-hmm. Ben, why don't you go first?
I'll start because I'll be short. First of all, Seth, shout out to you and the Mercenary Server podcast for helping me pop the cherry, so to speak. Appreciate it. I'd also like to thank Wolfnet, of course, for KSAG. It's been great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Ben?
For me, it's, you know, shout out to go to, you know, my fellow co-hosts on the Valhalla Club podcast, Matt, Mike, and Zach. I know I think we might be ahead of Wolfnet on the amount of episodes we put out last year by like one or two, maybe. Not
wow. Wow, shots fired.
We didn't set the bar very high.
Well, this past year has been kind of rough on all of us with, you know, Mike moving up to the most northern state in Alaska. So it's difficult for him to kind of get things settled in and find jobs and go through his army stuff and all that kind of stuff. And Matt's been running around in the mountains in the Rockies, you know, doing his government stuff that he does out there, and, you know, bringing on Zimmer as a full-time host now, you know. It's been a ride for this past year. So, you know, I know, I just want to say I appreciate those guys and what they do. And, you know, we'll keep trying to put out episodes for you guys.
Awesome. Cass?
I'll do a plug for 8Box Studios and their Recon Terrain. I'm sure Andrew can probably give a better detail and sales pitch than I can. But yeah, awesome products, and they are local to where I live. So awesome guys, awesome product.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, it's the number 8boxstudio.com, no S at the end. And then shout out to my local playgroup guys, the ever mighty Jeff Stone. Hope he recovers from some stuff he's got going on. Same with Jeff Perry. And then Steve, thanks for teaming up with me in Adepticon. Hope your year gets better. My brother and his, I think I'm the only undying patience, but we'll leave it to him. Teaming up and also facing me across the table. And then also probably, well, my fellow brothers, Silver Foxes. And then also a shout out to Bill Kim for a really awesome match that kind of helped me feel like I actually can stand my own ground in the more competitive side of the 350. So that was kind of nice. Even though I still lost, I still felt like I belonged. So that was kind of cool. And then the Valhalla Club guys who play every night. Zemmer, Brent, Baseframe,
yeah,
Kai, Q-Master.
Awesome.
Okay.
Andrew?
First off, shout out to you guys. Thank you for inducting me into the group. I do appreciate that. A shout out to my fellow podcasters, Aaron Krull, Matt Burns, Thomas Kruger, and Charles Gideon. We've had a long run, and it's every year it's still fun and it's still exciting. To all the content creators, people who are making content and exploring the universe that is BattleTech and making it be what it is. You know, like Seneca said, we are a long ways from where we were in 2018, and I think a lot of that has to do with the content creators. But for my last shout out, I think it's really about the community. Right, for everyone that is out there, that is playing or, you know, rolling dice, sharing in the universe, bringing people to the table. I know, you know, one of the things that I continually tell everyone is that, you know, we can run tournaments or we can go to conventions and we can do all of this stuff, but if nobody shows up, it doesn't matter, right? So yeah. Thank you everyone for showing up. Thank you to everyone, you know, making the BattleTech community be awesome. I hear about a lot of toxicity in other game systems and other places, and I'm not saying that we're 100%, but I know that we have a lot of large communities, be it local and online, that are fantastic places to consume this environment. And last but not least, my local game group here, the Minnesota BattleTech, KSAG could not happen without them. So a huge shout out and a thank you to them for all of their time and sacrifice to make that event go off so well and provide everybody a good experience. So Seth, thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks to you guys for joining me for this kind of last second year in review. But I was like, you know what? I feel like the Silver Foxes coming together for this year in review was just the icing on the cake of 2025. Shout outs to Dan at Bear Cavalry for being awesome. You know, like I said, we talked for probably just as long as we recorded afterwards, and he's such a cool guy. And so. Shout out to him and Bear Cavalry. If you haven't checked them out, definitely check them out. Shout out to the Painted Topher again. Highly recommend his painting videos. They are very helpful, and he does a great job explaining things too. So, and then shout out to Volk, who did, like I said, he's the 3D artist that did my Trogdor mini. I love his sculpts. And then, you know, Brent and Zimmer, because I am most often in Discord with them on a weekly basis, multiple nights, and just them putting up with me there. So shout out to you guys and all the other content creators and people who hang out in the Valhalla Club Discord. It's a great place, and that's where a lot of the content creators can be found. So shout out there. But I think that's going to do it. Again, thank you, gentlemen, for showing up and hanging out. It's been an honor and a privilege and a joy to chat BattleTech with you guys. And Seneca, I'll have to get you on for an episode proper, and we'll talk about some random mercenary unit, you know, so. Awesome. Well, thank you guys. And thank you for everyone who has stuck with the long episode today. I appreciate it. Please give us a like and subscribe, and we will see you next time. Good night. And God bless.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.